Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? If you ask me, it's warm outside, but I'm feeling chill inside. But as I start my message this morning, let me tell you a story about a man named Jack. It's sort of a funny story, just to break the ice. A man named Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day when he accidentally got close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and, to his horror, saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang onto the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So Jack began yelling for help, hoping that somebody would pass by and would hear him and lower a rope or something to him. Jack cried, "Help! Help! Is there anyone up there?" He yelled continuously, but nobody heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice, "Jack, Jack, can you hear me?" "Yes, I can hear you. I'm down here." "I can see you, Jack." Then he asked him, "Who are you and where are you?" "I am the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere." "The Lord, you mean God?" "Yes, that's me." "Lord, please help me. I promise if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll really be a good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life." Wow. Then the Lord replied, "Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's just get you down from there, then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully." "I'll do anything," Jack said. "I'll do anything you say, Lord. Just tell me what to do, and I will obey you." "Okay, let go of the branch, Jack." He was holding the branch. "Let go of that branch." "What?" "I said to let go of that branch. Just trust me and let go." And there was a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled, "Help! Help! Is there anyone else up there?" You know, we laugh because it sounds funny. But it sounds like most of us sometimes, right? When we are in the midst of trouble and we don't know what to do, we say we want to trust and obey you, Lord. And then when he tells us what he wants us to do, we often refuse to follow him. Some of us immediately call somebody, our friend, our loved ones, or turn to someone else. Or we try different ways. Am I right? No? You're lying. You know, the story of Jehoshaphat describes one of the great battles in the life of Israel. And it is relevant to each one of us this morning because we all face battles each day. We have financial battles, spiritual battles, employment battles, all kinds of battles in our daily lives. And God put the story of Jehoshaphat in the Bible in order to illustrate spiritual principles in winning the battles of life. Jehoshaphat was king of the southern kingdom called Judah, because it was divided during the time. The northern kingdom called Israel was ruled by Ahab, the wicked king. You know Ahab, right? And Jehoshaphat, his contemporary, he was the king of the southern kingdom called Judah. When Jehoshaphat heard the news that there were three enemy nations were coming to fight against him in verse 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, our text this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2. "Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is En Gedi.'" three nations against the kingdom of Judah. And the chronicler tells us that these three nations were, in verse 1, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. And notice how Jehoshaphat reacted in verse 3. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Look at the word used there. Afraid. Jehoshaphat was so afraid. And that's a typical reaction for all of us, right? When we encounter a problem, we say, what's going to happen to me? I don't know what to do. I'm afraid. This is a natural reaction to problems and fear. Take note of this. Fear is not wrong unless we deal with it in the wrong way. If we use fear to motivate ourselves to conquer the problem, that's fine. But if we get discouraged, dismayed, or get angry with God and complain, then fear defeats us. Now, my question to you this morning is, how do you handle difficult circumstances in life? Battles in life. Not only one, but two and three, like the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Meunites. And it's attacking you at all sides. What will you do? How do you handle it? Some of us, as I've said, will turn to someone else. We try different ways. But God always has a better way. Do you agree with me? This morning, I want you to remember three biblical principles so that the moment you encounter terrible problems in life, you will have that confidence and strength to face it. No matter what the nature of it, how big it is, you will be able to turn your battles into blessings. That's the title of our message. Turning battles into blessings. Can you say it one more time? Turning battles into blessings. The first principle I want you to share this morning, from verses 3 to 4, seek help from the Lord Almighty. Seek help. Jehoshaphat became afraid because he faced an apparently hopeless situation. Again, this is a natural reaction to problems and fear. And fear is not wrong unless we deal with it in the wrong way. But if we use fear to motivate ourselves to conquer the problem, that's fine. So what did he do, Jehoshaphat, in verses 3 to 4? Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. That's the principle here. Seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Three times the word seek appeared in this passage. Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek help from the Lord. The idea here is what? When you seek help from the Lord, it means pray. Prayer, that's our weapon. People came from every town in Judah to seek the Lord. That's what they did. And it's supposed to be what we should do. The first principle in winning the battles of life is to seek help or take your problems to the Lord. Prayer ought to be the first weapon we use whenever we face the battles of life, not the last. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you familiar with the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? I think that song, I don't know, Joseph Scriven, the author of that song, the writer, that song was inspired from this passage, because he mentioned about do not get discouraged, dismayed, and take it to the Lord in prayer. Exactly the story of Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah. Part of the song is, have we trials You want me to sing that?
Yeah.
Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? All sides. Moabites, the Ammonites, and the others beside. If we have, don't be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend. What blessings we forfeit because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. This is the principle. Seek help from the Lord. After this, this is very interesting here. Verse 1. What's the first two words? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. After this, take note of that. After this. That means there's a connection, there's an argument from the previous verses or chapter. After this, there's a trouble. After this, what does it mean? If you read chapter 19, look at your, if you have ESV translation, the caption there is Jehoshaphat's what? Reform. Jehoshaphat's reforms. There's transformation. Jehoshaphat was reforming the nation of Judah. If you take a look at 19, verse 6. Verse 6, please. It says here, Second Chronicles chapter 19, verse 6. This was the message of King Jehoshaphat to the judges. He said, consider what you do, for you judge not for men, but for the Lord. He is with you in giving judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking bribes. He made a reformation in the land of Judah by telling the judges and challenging them to fear the Lord. And then also in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 9. And he charged them. This is his charge to the priests and the Levites. And he charged them, thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. We are familiar with this phrase, right? Fear the Lord. Jehoshaphat, while the rest of the kings of the northern kingdom, they are wicked kings. Even his grandfather and his great-grandfather, Rehoboam and Abijam, they were wicked kings. They worshiped Asherah. But this man, he made a reformation in the land of Judah, telling the priests, the Levites, and the judges to fear the Lord. He was like, I think he read the book of Ecclesiastes, right? The whole duty of man is what? To fear the Lord and obey his commandments. Fear the Lord. And now what happened? He made a reformation. He was faithful to God. And then what happened? There's trial. It would have been easy for Jehoshaphat to have said, what kind of deal is this, Lord? I tried to bring the nation back to you. I taught them to put away their idols and follow you because you are worthy to be trusted. I challenged them. I taught them to fear you. And now we are facing destruction at the hands of these pagan nations. After this, Second Chronicles chapter 17, verse 6. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. This is Jehoshaphat. And furthermore, he took the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. This is the place of worship for the those who worship Asherah. Call it Asherah pole. And then in verse 10, look at what Jehoshaphat did to the nation of Judah, to the kingdom of Judah. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that there were around Judah. And they made no war against Jehoshaphat. During that time, fear of the Lord was instilled in the heart of the people, and there were no wars. But this time, in chapter 20, after this, after the faithfulness and the life being transformed, not only Jehoshaphat, but all the people in Judah, after this, battle is coming. They were in En-Gedi, the three nations. It's only 2 days, and the war will commence. 2 days. Very short preparation for them. There's no time to prepare for that kind of war. The principle here is, other times, God allows the danger to attack, even to you and to us, and give us the victory so that we live on and serve Him in gladness. Ask Job. He is a witness to that. Huh? In chapter 1 of Job, was mentioned there, Job was blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. But after this, he lost his fame, he lost his fitness, he lost his family, he lost his future, he lost everything, even his beloved wife, even his friends. After those things, Lord, blameless, fearing you. A lot of people, some of us, react negatively when we are trying to follow God, and then when get hit with difficult trials, what happened? Some of us will get angry and complain. This is not fair, God. I was trying to follow you and do your will. Now I'm facing this difficult situation while those who doesn't know you blaspheme you. They enjoy life. That is not fair, Lord. After this, I am being honest at work. Now I'm fired. That's not fair. I want my family to know Christ. That's why I share to them the gospel. Now I'm persecuted. You experience that? I experience that. I want to serve the Lord in the ministry. Now I'm criticized so much. That's not fair. It's better to sit down and listen and go home after the service. But Jehoshaphat didn't do that. He seek help from the Lord Almighty. I put Almighty because no matter how mighty are your troubles, God is far superior than our troubles or battles in life. Amen. Verse 6 to 12. If we summarize this, this is what Jehoshaphat, because it's a long prayer, we will not read that. God was praying to God that, God, I know you helped me in the past. I know you can help me in the future. So please help me now. If we take a look at that. He was not just praying, but at the same time, he was remembering God's goodness in the past. Not only God's goodness to him, but God's goodness to the people of Israel. It was mentioned to Abraham's descendants. It's good to remember God's goodness. To put some victories in your belt or in your pocket. And David did that too when he fought against Goliath. Goliath mocked him. He was a teenage boy. But what did David said? I killed lions and bears. They're faster than you. This is just a paraphrase. I killed both, all of them. I protected the flock. I will be able to kill you. You are slower than them, the lions and bears. Why? Because God helped me. That's God's goodness. Remember, God's goodness in the past. Not only God's goodness to you, but even God's goodness to other people. We should exalt in what God has done in the past because it strengthens our confidence in Him, right? In Tagalog, we say, kung kaya nila, kaya ko rin. Because I believe and serve the same God. Verse 12, he continued, please judge our enemies, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know. Very wonderful statement. Very humble statement. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. The first principle is seek help from the Lord Almighty. And the second principle is to stand firm on the Lord's assurance. Stand firm on the Lord's assurance. That's found in verse 15 to 17. While first principle talks about prayer, in this principle, it talks about promises and power. We need to admit our inadequacy. We need to say, Lord, I've got a problem. I need your help with it. I'm nothing. I'm powerless without your help. You know what? There's only one kind of person that God doesn't help. Who are they? Or who is that person? That person who doesn't think he needs help. Proud people. But when you say, Lord, I've got a problem. I need help. I admit my inadequacy. Then he can work on it. The Christian life, we know this, that Christian life is a supernatural life. You agree? We are facing spiritual warfare every day. You are in the war zone. And we need God's power to live it, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we are not at war against flesh and blood, but rulers against authorities, against cosmic powers, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Imagine that. Cosmic powers. Huh? Against spiritual forces of evil. Those are powers, cosmic powers. We know Avengers are fictional story. But try to imagine those powers, the enemies, the Thanos and anyone, the Justice League. Combine all of them, although it's not true. But even if you combine all those powers, the power that you have, because God is in you, is far superior than those powers. Amen? Amen. You are more than conqueror. You are more, combine all of them. You are in the war zone. Infinity war. It will end. It will end. When we will come together with Him. But now we are here. The battle is still going on. There's a war. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. What a wonderful. The principle in overcoming life's battle is to rely on God's power. We need to get our eyes on the Lord. Too often, we got our eyes on everything else, on everything except the one who can solve our problems. But Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. What's the principle here? If you don't know what to do, you must know where to look. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. Very interesting in King James Version. Verse 1 in King James Version. The Ammonites, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside. The Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It's used this phrase, other beside. And if we apply it in our situation today, we have problems at all sides. financial problems, familial problems, physical problems, health problems, relationship, emotional, spiritual, and others beside. Problems above, problems below, problems on the right, no, problems on the left side, problems on the right side, and at all sides. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. Wow. The psalmist in Psalm 121, 1 and 2, he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, in King James Version. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. No, it's a wrong verse. 121, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Where does my help come from? It's not from the hills. But the one who made the hills. My help, some people will read this this way. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. No. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, period. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. If you don't know what to do, you must know where to look. Somebody once said, circumstances are like mattress. You know, the one that we sleep at night? It's like mattress. If we are on top of it, we rest easy. But if we are underneath, we might suffocate. Whether it's made of horse tail, it's a very expensive one, horse hair, or maybe the heavy one, made of their spring, it's very heavy, or memory foam. But whether if you are on top of it, you rest easy, you relax. But if you are underneath, oh, you might suffocate. Somebody once said, you cannot keep dandelions down. Huh? You see dandelions, right? Because if the other weeds, we consider dandelions as weed, right? But if other weeds or grasses grows 5 inches, dandelion will grow 6 inches. If it's 10 inches, dandelion will grow 11 inches. You cannot take dandelion down. And then it spreads its, when it's dry, it spreads all its seeds. You know what? In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 12 to 19, Jehoshaphat could do what he wants to do. We will not read this. He could trust his army. If you read how many armies Jehoshaphat had, hundreds of thousands, 200,000 mighty men of valor. Imagine, it was mentioned there. I think he was ready because mighty men, the last time I read mighty men of Baalor was the mighty men of David. He has 3 mighty men, Joab is one of them, and the 30 mighty men. And Uzziah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba, is one of the mighty men of David. But you know what? One mighty man of David can kill thousands and hundreds. 200,000, it was mentioned there, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 200,000, 300,000, 100,000, mighty men of Baalor. He's ready, I think. But you know what, Jehoshaphat? Seek help from the Lord. He stand firm on the Lord's assurance, seeking help from the Lord Almighty. Notice how God responded to Jehoshaphat's prayer in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Do not be afraid, because this vast army, for the battle is not yours, right? It's mine. Do not be dismayed. Twice, God mentioned, do not be discouraged, do not be dismayed. This is usually the natural reaction when we face battles in life. Discouragement, disappointment, and dismay. Don't be afraid. Why? Why not? Because God promised Jehoshaphat to fight the battle for him. Has God ever lost a battle? Since. Yes or no? No. And will never. Never once. So you know who's going to win the battle in the end. It's like reading the last chapter of a novel. You know what's going to happen in the end. They will live happily. No, it's not battle. That's fairy tale. We know what will happen in the end. Your problems shrink in size when you turn them over to the Lord. Amen. No matter how great, how big. Notice what has God said to Jehoshaphat in verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 20. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions and stand firm. This is where we get the principle. Stand firm. Verse 17. What does it mean to stand firm when you got a problem? When you're facing a battle, when you are in crisis of life, it's a mental attitude of quiet confidence that say, I'm going to trust God. That's standing firm. Stand firm in the Lord's assurance. What are we to stand firm on? First, we need to stand firm on the character of God. God is faithful. We can depend on Him. He will never let us down. And second, we need to stand firm on the truths of the Bible, the one that you are holding right now. He will never let us down. The Bible is God's word, and we need to wait in quiet confidence on His promises. Stand firm on God's promises and His power. We are powerless. Yes, we admit. We are inadequate. But God is powerful. We are the children of God. You are a child of God. God is powerful, and you are powerful too. Again, what's the first principle? Seek help from the Lord Almighty. That's prayer. Second, stand firm on the Lord's assurance. That's power and promises. And the last but not the least, sing to the Lord in advance. This is quite unfamiliar. Sing to the Lord in advance. Verse 21. You know, the last principle in conquering life's battle is to sing to the Lord in advance for giving you the victory. The story of Jehoshaphat is fascinating because after he consulted the people, he appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise God for His holiness, His splendor. And as they went out at the head of the army, Jehoshaphat appoints his frontline troops. But the frontline troops are not charioteers or swordsmen or mighty men of Baalor. They are what? Huh? They are singers. What's this? We're facing the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Meunites and others beside. And now you, oh, what's this like? Parang ano, pain? Jehoshaphat aims to conquer the enemy in this situation with a choir. Who wants to join the choir? They need men. Verse 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. As they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. Remember, the war is not yet happening, right? But they're singing praise to the Lord. Music ministry, not only the choir. Sing to the Lord in advance. Praising God before the victory. And I think the writer of this book wants to make it clear that even though the victory belongs to God, human means through which God gives victory is the ministry of music. For It says in verse 22. Look at the timing here. Verse 22. And when they began, verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. When they began to sing, before they sang, nothing happened. But when they started, the timing here, when they began to sing, the enemies were falling. Now get the picture here. Here are these two mountains and valley. A big battle is going to take place in the valley. On the mount, in one mountain are the three enemy nations. On the other side, the people of Judah. And God said, here's God's battle plan. All those who sing in the choir, I want you out front. So they go marching to battle with the choir in front of the army, singing praises to God. Did God's plan work? Yes. The three enemy armies got confused and ended up killing each other. You read that one. We didn't read that one, right? But if you read the story, it's very interesting. First, the Moabites and the Ammonites, they merged together. They fought against the Meunites, the people of Mount Seir. They killed the armies of Mount Seir. And then after that, they turn against each other, the Moabites and Ammonites, while the music is playing, the choir is singing. They get confused. They were routed. When it's all over, the defeat is so great that it takes 3 days for Jehoshaphat and people and his people to carry away the spoil. Look at verses 24 and 25. 24 and 25, please. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, the army. And behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. No, not one. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothings and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. A lot. And they were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. Wow. See that? All God's people had to do was to divide up the plunder. As long as you will never get discouraged, it takes more time to gather God's blessings than to fight the problems. Amen? Amen? That's the principle there. As long as you will not get discouraged, do not get dismayed. It will take you more time to gather these blessings from the Lord than to fight the problem. How many days? 3 days to collect. How long would it take to listen to a cantata? How long would it take? An hour or two? Huh? Take note of this. The battle is for a moment, but the blessings are for days. Amen. Amen for that. The reason why you are discouraged is because the devil knows that God's blessings are coming your way. And if you get discouraged, you miss the blessings. Verse 26. On the fourth day, after gathering all the spoils, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Beraka to this day. You know what's the meaning of Beraka or Beraka in Hebrew? Beraka means blessing. Blessing. They turn the battle into blessing. The story of Jehoshaphat is a visual object lesson to teach us to praise Him in faith, even before the victory. Sing praise to the Lord in advance. And there is a similar story in the New Testament that confirms this lesson. Acts chapter 16. You remember Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were not protected from God from the attack of their enemies. They were faithful in preaching the gospel, yet they suffered trials, right? They were faithful. After this, they were stripped and beaten with rods and then put in prison. Verse 25 of chapter 16 of Acts. But about midnight, as they're still suffering, feeling the pain, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They sang hymns to God. Why? Why were they singing? I think they were singing because they needed a display of God's power. They had learned that singing to God is not merely a response to His grace, but also a weapon of spiritual warfare. They had learned, like Jehoshaphat, and like many of us, that the enemies of God are thrown into confusion by the songs of God's people. Amen for that. Let me tell you, share to you a true story before I close this message. There was a young boy named James Stewart. James was not a believer and in fact was anti-Christian. His mother bought him a Bible one day, laid it on his desk and said, "Here, son, is your new Bible." James replied, "What's this for?" His mother answered, "You don't know it yet, but you are about to become a Christian." James responded, "No, I'm not. I'm going to play football and go to hell." His mother stood up in church that night and said, "My son is about to become a Christian. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm thanking God in advance." And giving a testimony. So James' friends began to walk up to him and on the street and say, "I heard you became a Christian." "No," James said, "it's just my crazy mother. I'm going to play football and go to hell." But his mother told her pastor, "I want you to save 20 minutes on Saturday night for my son to give his testimony." The Friday night before that Saturday, James was playing football when he suddenly felt God's presence right on the playing field. He got down on his knees and prayed right in front of everybody, "God, I really need you in my life. If you can make a difference, come in and change me. Save me, whatever it takes. Make me born again." Then James ran off the field in his uniform, down the street, and up the stairs into his house. He hugged his mother and proclaimed, "Mom, I just became a Christian." She replied, "Of course. I've been telling you that for 3 weeks." This is a true story of thanking God in advance. The lesson is that there is power in thankfulness. Each one of us can say, "Lord, I know I've got problems, but I thank you in advance because there is no situation that you cannot take care of. I am powerless, but you are powerful. I don't know what to do, but my eyes on you." If you want to turn your battles into blessings, remember the principles. First, seek help from the Lord Almighty. It's prayer. Stand firm on the Lord's assurance, His promises and power. Sing to the Lord in advance. Praise Him even before the victory. Amen. Thank you for listening. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads.